Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Educators Grow Podcast, the podcast where we talk with fellow educators about how we're growing and continually trying to improve ourselves in the profession of education. Welcome back. It's been an incredible restart. I know we had a little bit of a hiatus over the summer, but it's been an incredible restart getting back into it, and I hope you're enjoying our episodes as much as I have. I was giving a presentation over the summer about the power of being connected educator with Twitter and Voxer and things of that nature. And it made me really reflect on my history with all these mediums. And the person who is our guest today is one of the first people I ever connected with on Twitter, connected via the Kids Deserve It chat. And now somebody that, whether it's on Twitter or whether it's on Voxer, I connect with pretty much every single day. A person that I admire a lot, a person that's incredibly supportive and helpful. I call him the King of Kindness. So without further ado, our guest today, and might I add also my first international guest joining us from Canada, our guest today, Mr. Roman Nowak. Roman, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Is there anything you would like to introduce yourself with that I didn't cover?
I can just give a brief little history of where I am now and where I was. So when I got connected with most educators, I was actually working outside of the classroom. I was supporting 12 districts with different policies, programs, and ways that we can engage youth and help struggling students actually find success. Did that for 3 years, and I'm in my 15th year of teaching now, and I'm back in the classroom teaching full-time high school English. So it's been a whirlwind for myself to get back to my roots, to a different routine with two kids and a lot of homework now, but I'm having a blast. So that's probably the way I'd introduce myself right now.
Fantastic. And I know in talking to you the last few months, if you decided to go back in the classroom, I know there were a lot of things, and you told us a few things that you were going to be doing when you got back in the classroom, and some of them you haven't told us yet, but I know that I'm personally excited about following you along on your journey.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that no matter the journey I have, that the journey I put out and I share is not only the positive, because I find that seems to be one of the reasons that some people sort of shy away from going on social media, is because it's all full of these amazing, great things, and then they sort of feel inadequate, and then we don't want to share. And I was in those shoes at the beginning with social media. So one of the important things, I'm going back, especially I use Instagram stories, but I try and share out the positive, but also the struggles that I go through, because I'm back in the classroom. I have great energy, great ideas. Doesn't mean that every day is just as great. And so I try and at least share my honest journey and hope people learn from it and see themselves in it.
And I think, I know I appreciate that. And I think that's incredibly important, because like you said, so often we can see other educators, whether it be on Twitter or whatever medium it is, and everything's great and everything's going wonderfully. But I think it's important for us to also be able to share that story. Hey, not everything is going perfectly, and that's okay. We see, like, I guess you could say, we see that finished product, but we don't always see all the things leading up to that. And I know that you're very open and honest about sharing that. And I think that's incredibly, incredibly helpful for all of us that follow you as well as interact with you.
Thank you. And I think it's important for me as I reflect. If I put it out there, I get a lot of comments back, and then it's a chance for me to learn from other people that, hey, I've tried this, and that's how I grow. And that's how I think even my connections, they grow, just by having people interact, talk, offer suggestions. And I think it's important to have that two-way dialogue all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we want people to be open and vulnerable with us, I think that we have to do the same thing to them also. We can't expect somebody to go out on a limb and take that chance or open up if we're not going to do the same thing.
Definitely. And so I hope even with my students, I mean, if I want them to open up and take risks, well, I'm going to take risks right alongside them.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful mindset. But with that being said, I love that lead-in, because it really is just kind of encompassing what the podcast is all about. But I do have a few Q&As, so would you like to jump into those?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. The first question. Thinking back about your entire educational experience, what are three words that you would use to describe yourself in your first year in education? And then what are three words you would use to describe yourself now?
So first year of education, I would start with overzealous. I tried to do a lot, I tried to make it as perfect as possible, and it didn't always work out that way. And I actually almost left teaching in my first year. So that to me is important. I would say passionate. And I think passion was always something that was important to me. I've always wanted to be a teacher, and I've tried to bring a lot of different things to my classroom. And I'd say confident. And I was hesitant with saying confident and arrogant. I don't think I was arrogant. I know some people have said it listening to your podcast, but I think I sort of had that attitude of, I got this, I know this, I don't necessarily have to learn that much because I know what I need to know. But I think over the years I've changed. And so today I still keep passionate because I have this great passion, and it's one of the reasons that I was super excited to go back to the classroom after being gone for 3 years. I would add risk taker because I'm taking enormous risks, and I know there already some of them are not working out, but that's fine. I'm still powering through, and I'm going to add positive. I think no matter what, I still have the days where I struggle. I still have the days where I question a lot of things, but when I have those moments, I know who to turn to, who to talk to go get that little boost in positivity. I try to be as positive as I can, but I mean, we all have our struggles. But then I go to my people to bring that up so I can stay positive. But I think those three are me, and I work hard at keeping them me. So that's what I hope to sort of put out there.
Yeah, and even just when you said that last one, positive, it made me think of the story you were telling about with Twitter. Is, yeah, I know you're very positive. I try to be very positive too. Does that mean that we're always positive every minute of the day? Of course not. I'd be lying if I said that we were. And I think I think, like you said, it's important to share. Hey, I can identify as a positive person. Does not mean that I'm positive 24/7, 365.
Definitely. And I mean, no matter how you define yourself, it's something you work on every single day. So yes, I'm positive and I try and put positivity out there. But I mean, sometimes I have to go and regroup and rethink and get that boost because I need it too.
Mm-hmm. Thinking also about one of the words you gave for the beginning, about confident. I feel as though and I think you alluded to it too, a lot of people kind of share that one. And I definitely fell into that boat too. I probably would. You actually said maybe not arrogant. I might actually identify a little bit more with that. I thought I was the best, and I quickly realized that I wasn't. But I think that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing going into it as being a confident person.
No, I think it's important to have confidence. But then there's that fine line with confidence and arrogance. And it's always an interesting discussion, even with my students. But I think I was more confident because I've always still questioned myself on certain things, even if I don't put it out there. So I think that's where I'd maybe take away. But I don't know, if we talk to people from my first year, maybe I did come across arrogant. No one has told me, but hey, we never know.
But then I think the biggest takeaway for me is passionate and passionate. That passion is always there. And you know, if you have that passion, I know it was Dave Burgess said in Teach Like a Pirate, one of the things that I remember is that when somebody has that passion, you can't fake it. You know, you have that passion and people around you will know about that. And, you know, if we have that passion for what we do, if we come to that work every day with a passion for it, you know, we will have those bumps in the road. We will sometimes not feel as positive, but, you know, that passion will drive us.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you. So, when there's something that you want to learn more about, whether it be educational or not, how do you go about learning?
I try and do it in different ways. I think my go-to is researching and reading first. That seems to be my go-to. I try to read a lot. Summer is usually when I can read more. But I mean, I read technically every day. It's just books in terms of that. But I also love to go on YouTube now. I always tell my students the story, and even when I go to certain conferences, that I learned to change the cord from my lawnmower that broke with a YouTube video. And it's not something I'm really not good at fixing things, but I mean, I'll go to it. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do this year is I'm trying to get students to teach me their passions. So I have to actually learn different things. One of my students gave me the idea, or sort of challenged me, to learn the ukulele. And so he brought me his ukulele, and I'm like, okay, I have to learn something. And so my go-to was YouTube. And so one of my friends suggested a song. I found a how to play ukulele, that song, on YouTube. Of course, there's everything. And so now over the next few weeks, that's what I'll be dabbling in. So I think YouTube and reading are probably the best for me. But if someone could actually sit down and show me, I love that too. I think learning is a social event. And I think so it's important whether it's YouTube, in a way it is social, it's another person showing you. But I think that in person, so I like to sort of vary it out and try and sort of complement it with various different strategies.
I just recently realized, just a few months ago, how much I use YouTube. You know, Google it, but then just kind of go to YouTube. Actually, I learned how to do a podcast by watching somebody do it on YouTube. So I just searched it on YouTube, and I realized about halfway through, I'm learning how to do a podcast from a 10-year-old. I was like, wow, that's kind of mind-blowing, but it's so interesting that I'm here. I'm focused exactly on what this 10-year-old is telling me. And he taught me basically how to do a Google Hangout, how to upload that to my page, how to use that in a Cloud Convert. I was like, wow, that is pretty incredible when you think about it. Wow.
No, kids, they can teach us so much. And I think that's something that we need to really go and harness that power in our classrooms.
Fantastic. And you also mentioned that you do a lot of reading. Any specific books you got in mind? Any specific book over the summer that you really dug?
I think there's a lot of different books, and I try to vary it. I think one of the books that stuck out this summer was Being the Change by Sarah Ahmed. And I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be good at names, and I don't know if I've massacred her last name. So I do apologize, Sarah, if I didn't say it right. But I think Being the Change, which talks about building character and building identity in your classroom and all those SCL things that we talk about, I think it really influenced how I'm approaching even my English class and bringing in that identity piece and that voice piece to my classroom right now. So I think probably over the summer, that was my best read. I think I have about 150 post-its in that book right now. And it's in my backpack, and I bring it with me every day to school.
I love when you shared, it was a little bit while back, about all the post-its you have in your book, because I am not a post-it person, but I go through all the mini ones whenever I read a book. Those little mini ones are a lifesaver for me, and I always write down my notes or everything in there. So my books look very similar after I read through them.
I think I should have probably bought some shares in the post-it company because a lot of money.
Well, yeah, between yourself and myself, yeah, you should go for it. I'll let you know before I start my next book, so I'll get a batch of post-it notes. All right, so thinking about that whole learning process, is there anything in the field of education right now that you'd love to learn more about?
I think this year my focus, or what I'm trying, is I'm looking at transforming the classroom experience. So I think a lot of differentiation, but personalization. I think I came in with grand ideas or certain preconceptions. And so I'm working at trying to find out more about it, see how it can work in certain systems, see how it works elementary, and then to translate it to the high school level. And so I think that's going to be my focus. I really want kids to find their passions and bring that into their learning. I don't like using a magic recipe because education is not about a recipe, but I haven't found the strategies that are right for me yet. But that's something that I'm working at, looking at resources, talking to teachers who have tried it, schools that have tried it, and not necessarily be technology-based. I think technology is important, but really focus on the child themselves, every student, and see how we can bring that in. So I think that's going to be my focus this year.
Fantastic. And I love how you kind of touched on how technology is important, but it is not everything that's needed. You know, when you're looking to transform that classroom experience, and I know how you said that personalization, you know, I think, you know, technology can assist with that. But, and I know you're a big fan of this, but it really just goes back to relationships and knowing each other.
Definitely. And I think technology can enhance a lot of things we do in education, but it should not be the first go-to or what's going to transform everything. That's just what's going to sort of help us along the way.
Absolutely. All right. So what's one of the greatest lessons that you've ever learned? It does not have to be educational based or not, but one of the greatest lessons you've ever learned, and how did you learn it?
I think it was probably a lesson both in being, in believing myself, and also in being humble. I work in a French school system. So here in Ontario, we have two language systems that are publicly funded, so French and English. Although French is my third language, so my parents didn't grow up French, but they believed in the importance of both official languages in Canada, English and French. So as I grew up and I didn't know if I was going to want to teach in the English system or the French, I ended up choosing the French, which is how I did my elementary schooling. I think I always doubted that I could sort of advance or do big things in the system because I was working with people who were born French and who have lived like that their entire life. And here I am, and it's my third language. And I mean, even when I write, I think I write well, but a lot of times I still get comments when I work with colleagues, oh, that sounds very English in the way you wrote it. And English is my second language. And so I struggled with that and saying, well, I can't necessarily go to a leadership position because I'm just not as strong as all these other people. And I think as when I got the contract 3 years ago to work with these 12 districts, I was ready to not get the job. And I think when I did my interview and I talked about my background and the languages and how I sort of perceived myself and learning and through that discussion, I think the fact that they even trusted me and that I guess I was good enough for it, which I wasn't expecting, I think that gave me sort of a confidence boost that I think I was lacking because I was always holding myself back because of that. But at the same time, it's humbling because as you're working with all these people and you're seeing all the greatness around you, you're like, you know what? I have strength, but we're actually stronger as a team. And I've learned so much. And I think that's what I've loved about my Twitter connections. I think that's been humbling too. I've had so many amazing connections and we always talk, and I can't remember who said it on social media. Even when you go to conferences, it's all about these edu rock stars and it's all, but would you go to a conference of just regular good teachers? And I think, so the humbling piece, there are so many people that are amazing that have taught me so many things that wouldn't quote unquote be considered rock stars because they're not all over social media or they're not super well known, but they're just amazing. And I think those are the connections that I strive for now. It's to learn from other people. I have a lot to learn. I think we all do. And I think we have to put ourselves in that position to learn. So I did get that confidence boost, but I think at the same time, I got that same drive to say, you know what? I'm still far from where I want to be. I have so much to learn. And there are so many people doing amazing things that let me try and get as much information as possible from them. Probably why I do so many Twitter chats, because I'm trying to absorb as many things as I can. And my wife tells me to stop. So I'm trying to balance that out.
That balance piece. I was actually just going to point out, I love one of the things you said there is putting ourselves in a position to learn. And for so long, I'll admit, for so long, I thought it was the job of my school to teach me, not for me to go out and learn. And as I started growing and, you know, becoming more interested in other aspects of education, and I said, I shouldn't be waiting here for somebody to bring me something that's going to mean something to me, but what can I do to go out and learn from other people and learn more? And that's how I actually start out and, you know, connecting with other educators too. So I think that's really important that you put in there, but that balance piece, I have to comment on that. That balance piece, it's a difficult one. Yeah. Well, if I find the answer for that one, I'll let you know. I'll let you know on that one. Okay.
I don't know if there is a right answer. And I read Balance Like a Pirate this summer and I've talked to the authors before. I go back to it very often because balance is not something that you'll find once and you'll keep for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's a constant struggle to keep that balance in your life with professional, personal, and just the entertainment aspect, having fun, social. You just have to keep working at it.
I agree completely. And I know for me personally, that's something that if I'm not purposefully paying attention to it, that could easily be thrown out of balance.
Definitely.
Easily. All right, we've come to our last question here. So if there's one thing that you could change about schools, no matter how crazy it may seem and with no monetary restrictions, what would it be?
I really believe in the power of transformation. So if we can find the way to give the support and learning to teachers to transform and give them the time to live it and not have to always do it on their own time. So find a way in our school schedule to have that daily time to collaborate, to think of different things, to work even one-on-one with kids and learn different ways of looking at subject matters. I think the current traditional timetable and how we've organized our school days, I think it's outdated. And I think if we can change how we look at that, I think I've talked about before with people how right now we live in a model where the time is what's fixed and the learning is what's variable. So depending on the fixed time that we have, the learning is going to change for every student. Where really our job in education should be the learning that's fixed. Everyone needs to learn, and we'll just adjust the time for it. And so we're sort of in a backward situation. If I could change that somehow and change that timepiece, I mean, that would probably be a game changer that I would love to experiment with.
Man, it's been such a quotable interview with you. I love that time is what's fixed and learning is the variable. I love that one. I had to write that one down for me. Well, Roman, again, I just want to thank you very much for taking some time to join us on the Educators Grow podcast. Like I said to everybody before, somebody that I've been connected with a long time via different social media platforms, I would highly suggest if you do not follow Roman or if you're not connected with him, I would highly suggest to do so. Do you know, you want to share your Twitter handle with us or?
Yes. So on Twitter, I'm at Novak Roe, NOWAKRO. If you follow the hashtag BeKindEDU, that's a hashtag that me and Eli Kasaus started, and we have a Twitter chat on Sunday nights. I'm also on Instagram, Roman, I think it's just Roman.Novak, so pretty easy to find. And I do have a blog site, which I need to write more, but right now I'm having a hard time finding the balance to do everything I want to do. And that's MrMRRomanNovakAltogether.wordpress.com. All my links to the different social medias are there too. But I try to put myself out there. I'm not always as regular as I'd like to be. And sometimes I'll put out two or three a week, and sometimes I'll go 2 months without. But it's just inspiration and time and all the good desire to do so and the lack of being able to prioritize properly in life.
Fantastic. So everybody check those out. Connect with him. Trust me, you won't regret it. You did mention that you and Eli do your Twitter chat. You said it's on Sunday. What time is that again?
So Eastern, it's at 9 p.m. Central would be 8 p.m. And then West Coast, 7 p.m. And it's a 30-minute chat.
All right. So Sunday nights, Be Kind EDU. All right. Again, Eli, I appreciate it. I'm sorry. We're talking about Eli. Oh, my gosh. All right. I hope he listens to this, and I hope he's a little flattered on that. So, Roman, appreciate your time. And it's great having you on.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us again.